1 Corinthians chapter 16. Thank you very much. 1 Corinthians 16. Very good. Here we go. All right, be seated. Thank you very much. Thank you. 1 Corinthians 16. First Corinthians chapter 16. All right. Man, we're so excited about Thanksgiving, even the ladies are screaming. Yep. Here we go. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. I want to reference just a few verses. Begin, if you would, please, at verse number 5. Follow along as I read. Now I will come unto you when I shall pass through Macedonia, for I do pass through Macedonia. And it might be that I will abide, yea, winter with you, that ye may bring me on my journey whithersoever I go. For I will not see you now by the way, but I trust to tarry a while with you, if the Lord permit. But I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost. Would you read verse 9 with me, everyone together? For a great door and effectual. Could you read one more time, verse number 9? For a great door. The Apostle Paul was a Spirit-filled leader. And one of the gifts and one of the blessings of life is learning to identify open doors in your life. It is identifying open doors and going through open doors of your life. It's a very serious thing. You can walk through the wrong door and pay dearly for years to come. I'm not here to scare you. I'm just telling you, and it's not something you have to be worried about if you will walk in the Spirit. It's why God calls the spiritual life a walk. Okay? Brother Bailey walked through the door to come to chapel. You don't walk through doors standing still. You're making progress. The Bible tells us to walk in the Spirit. You'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. It's a walk. It's a progress. But the Apostle Paul was writing this letter to the church at Corinth, and he is a Spirit-filled man wanting to do what God called him to do. We know this. We know that he said that I might know him. He was focused. I pressed toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. His goal was to please the Lord. And I think most of you, that is your goal. I believe that is my goal. I sometimes can get sidetracked and please myself, but my goal is to please the Lord. Because when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. The pleasing God is a great goal. The Bible says you ought to walk and to please God. That's one of our goals of our life. But learning to identify open doors, going through them, and he says to the church at Corinth, I can't come right now to where you are. I'm going to stay in Ephesus. And the reason I'm staying in Ephesus is because there is a great door and effectual, a powerful opportunity, something that will have an eternal effect on the lives of people. But then he says there are many adversaries. There are many obstacles in going through this door. If I go through this door, it's going to be some challenges. And I want to speak to you this morning just for a few moments, and I mean just a few moments, a couple great doors that are open to you over the next 5 days of your life. Opportunities that you have. There's doors that you have, and you'll have to identify them. They'll be different for you than they'll be for me. I have open doors open for me, and then I have some adversaries. You've got some open doors open for you. If you stay in the dorms or you go home. I've done both of those in my years as a college student. Some of the times I got to go home. Many of the times, at least two of my 4 years here, I stayed here over Thanksgiving. I'm very thankful for Brother Collins now, and for me back in those days, Brother Dan Wolf and Brother McSpadden provided for us activities to do, and I enjoyed those very much. I remember eating a Thanksgiving meal in the dining hall. I think you have the different venues to do that, but I remember that very well. I remember the loneliness I felt and challenges somewhat, and I saw everybody begin to head off, and I knew I needed to stay for work or for some other things or distance from my home or finances. But I want to talk to you about a few open doors that we have. And let's go to the Lord in prayer, and I'll share these four thoughts with you, and we'll be dismissed today. Father, I pray that you would please bless a few moments we're together. I'm very honored to be a part of the educational process for these young people. As I told them already earlier this morning, I dream and I rejoice as I think about what they can do if they want to learn, they want to prepare. They can go someplace and punch a hole in the darkness in the lives of children, teens, men and women, boys and girls, and help pastors and church leaders, Lord, to reach the potential in their community where they are. I pray that you would help them. Many of them will end up on foreign fields. In 10 years, they'll be speaking a different language, living in a different culture. They'll be ministering and have a group of people around them. 10 years, many of the young people that are listening to my voice right now will have children. They'll be married. They will be engaged in the work of the Lord. If they'll go through great and effectual doors that you have for them, I pray that you would please help us to understand this, and I pray you would make the application that we need to today in Jesus' name. Amen. What is a great and effectual open door for you and I at this season of our life and over the next Thanksgiving holidays? You know, I love breaks in our schedule. We need them. How many think you need a break right now? Right, yeah, you need to get away, like Southwest Airlines, you know, get away. Well, I love breaks in the schedule, I really do, but I also get a little bit nervous because sometimes in breaks we let our guards down, we let our guard down, and idleness is the devil's workshop. Get idle, get out of routine, and then we see issues happen. Some of you precious young people, you are developing a relationship with a young lady or a young man, and you'll be together over the Thanksgiving holidays, and you'll have some temptations. Everything within you wants to hold hands, to hug, to kiss, to enjoy the pleasures that are reserved for marriage. And you're going to have some battles there, and you're going to have some reasoning there. You're going to have some strong desires and learning to keep yourself pure, and you're the only one that can do that. I promise you, purity is powerful. I promise you, immorality and sin and taking opportunities that are not yet ready for you to do are regretful and dumb. You'll regret it. You'll wish you hadn't done that. And I hear the stories every single week of those challenges and people wanting to fall into temptation, seeing things they shouldn't see, doing things they shouldn't do. Those are challenging things. We don't want that to happen. But I do believe if you'll keep your eyes open, there's some open doors we have. Number one, we have an open door to witness for Jesus Christ. See, Pastor, that's what we do every week. That's what you have over the next 5 days. Some of you are going to get on a bus today, or you're going to get on a vehicle and you're going to go to O'Hare Airport. You're going to go to Midway. Some of you are going to get in cars and travel together. You're going to stop at a rest stop or a gas station. I want to encourage you, take advantage of the open door to witness to somebody. Give the gospel. Speak about Christ. You'll probably never see them again. That person that you see walking into the airport, you're probably not going to see them again. The people sitting across from you at that terminal, you're not going to see them again, but you could see them in heaven if you witnessed to them. You gave them the gospel tract. On the back table, I have listed out here, and you may have other gospel tracts, but I have put hundreds of gospel tracts here. How to know 100% sure when you die, you'll go to heaven. I would like to make sure you have some for your pocket, your purse, your car on the way home. When you pay for your gas, if you pay out on the pump, go inside. Say, listen, I'm concerned about the eternal destiny of people I get to know. I'd like to encourage you to read this. It tells you about Jesus Christ. Or the best day of my life, someone explained to me how Jesus Christ could save me. Could I give this to you to read in your spare time? Some of you, it might be 11 o'clock at night, 12 o'clock at night. I remember one time leading someone to Christ on my way from college at a gas station. And they said to me as I finished sharing the gospel with them, they said, you know what, God, this is not circumstance. This needed to happen. And I was so glad I was there because God's already there. Hey, there are some adversaries to win people to Christ. One of those adversaries is fear. We're afraid. We're afraid, what are they going to think about us? What's going to happen there? You know, D.L. Moody said, if you can get someone to think about eternity for 5 minutes, they'll probably accept Christ. One of the things that we want to that the society does is try to think, help people not think about eternity. Just think about now. Just think about life now. One sometimes, and especially in Oriental cultures that are godless and Buddhist and things of that nature, they don't want to think about eternity. They just want to have a peaceful life today. And society is built that way. But ask people about their eternity. But fear is an adversary. Another adversary is laziness. I don't need a break. My bus kids, they'll be okay for one weekend. I just want to go home and just rest and vegetate. But if you have a Saturday soul winning meeting, you ought to go. If you don't have a Saturday soul winning, you ought to ask for a couple visits from your pastor. And get out there and find someone that needs the gospel of Christ. People die and go to hell over the Thanksgiving holidays. Christmas time, you watch people go into eternity. And a lot of times people will, there's a little bit of lull. Then after Christmas, people start passing away pretty fast. After the Christmas season, it may be, I was thinking about this the other day, on tomorrow there'll be a funeral. Brother Jeremy Malucci will conduct a funeral tomorrow for a lady who her granddaughter invited, told her about the Lord. Excuse me, her granddaughter got saved first. Brother Jeremy led her to the Lord. Then Miss Connie Froke went to her house, led grandma to the Lord, came to church, went to discipleship, and at the end of one of the discipleship lessons, she decided she'd get baptized. She got baptized. What she did not know is that she had cancer within her body, activated months ago. And just the other day, she stopped coming to church. What's going on? She's not been feeling good. Her back's hurting. Her side was hurting. Went to the doctor, 4-stage cancer. She went home to be with the Lord this week. Last Friday, 2:30 in the afternoon. You know, I'm so glad that someone was out soul winning. Sometimes laziness, sometimes apathy is an adversary. We don't think about anybody else. Another time is shame. It's embarrassing, but some of us, we're ashamed of Christ. We think the world has something on us, and we have something on the world. We should not be ashamed of Christ. We talk about things we love. Talk about the Lord. Sometimes just the power of the name of Jesus Christ. You have an open door. The open door is witnessing. Go to a soul-winning training meeting if you have that. If in many of your churches, there were some of my churches, when I went back on Thanksgiving, Christmas, some churches I went to, they did not even have a program. So I'd have to go on a bus route with one of the bus workers. Or I would just go to the pastor and say, Pastor, can you got some visits I can make? Do you have a Sunday school class? Is there anybody that I can be a blessing to? And I would go do that. Tell folks about Christ. Take advantage of the opportunity to be a witness. The open door of witnessing, soul winning. Number two, the great door of appreciation. All of us have a chance to walk through the door of appreciation. And we ought to be very, very, of all people on the planet, we ought to be thankful. We ought to be thankful. Be thankful to your mom, to your dad. Express gratitude for your pastor, your pastor's wife, the deacons of your church. When you go on Sunday morning, please, guys, don't dress down. Dress up. I'm glad you can grow a beard. Don't grow one over Thanksgiving. Shave, walk into church, look like you care about what God did. Don't shame your parents. Don't shame the name of the Lord. Girls, don't dress down. Make sure you dress modest. Don't wear a dress at home you wouldn't wear here. Make sure that you're a good testimony. Show appreciation. Show gratitude. Show thankfulness. This is a great door, and it really is a great door. Now, there are some enemies. It's a great door. It's effectual. It's an opportunity to say thank you. Say thank you verbally. Say thank you through a thank you note. Write a note. Slip it under your pastor's door. And just recently, I had a kind of like about three hours of just some really challenging things. It seemed like just felt like it was in a 12-round boxing match. And just felt, and then all of a sudden, I opened a letter, and I was nervous to open a letter because I was gun-shy. I had bad things happen 3 hours, and I saw a note, Pastor Wilkerson. I thought, oh, no. Could it be insult to injury? What's it going to be, a complaint? Someone's upset about something? And I opened that up, and it just said, Pastor, I don't know what put this on my heart, but I do know this. I don't think I've thanked you lately for the message you prepared, for the lead in our church, and just some gracious things they said. And you know, that was like a word in due season. It was sweet. It was helpful. Your pastor needs that kind of encouragement. Your pastor's wife needs that encouragement. And you say, you know, I'm going to make myself a welcoming committee of one. I'm going to make myself a source of great blessing to my church family, to my pastor, to a pastor's wife, maybe to a deacon, maybe to a widow. You girls, I want to encourage you. Go back to your home church. Hug everybody that you can, every widow that's there, everybody that can be encouraged, you hug them. That single mom that is there with her kids, you encourage her. Young men, you ought to look for someone to be grateful to. Go by the nursery and say, hey, thank you, ladies, for taking care of the nursery. I've really appreciated all that the nursery workers do. It may be one of the first times someone thanks them a long time. You be that person. Walk through the doors, a great door of appreciation. What keeps us from that door? I thought about a couple enemies. First of all, just thoughtlessness. Just not thinking. How good God has been to us. How good people have been to us. Does anyone, they send you off with a note or a briefcase? I remember when I went off to college, my youth group and my youth pastor got together and got me a briefcase. I remember that. It'd be a good time to go back and say thank you. We're almost through one semester, and a lot of that's because of you. Thank you for getting me that Bible. Thank you for helping me with that first payment. Thank you for giving that $50 when I left to encourage me. Express gratitude. Thoughtlessness will keep us from that. Selfishness will keep us from that. Two doors, the door of witnessing, the door of gratitude and appreciation. Walk through that great door. You're going to find. You have to walk through it. It's not going to open. You're not going to go through it standing there and just watching the world go by. Make it happen. Number three, I want to encourage you to walk through the great door. There's a great door of rest. The schedule is brutal. Okay? And I know that many of you, listen, you study the back of your eyelids during your classes, all right? So knock it off. But it's a burden of the administration. I think that Brother Collins, Brother Bailey, Dr. Douglas, lots of folks, we talk about this a lot. We know it's a busy schedule. We know the Bible tells us we ought to bear a yoke in our youth. But Jesus said to his disciples, let's come apart and rest a while. I want to encourage you, make sure you get some rest. I want to encourage you to eat well, but eat smart. Enjoy the time with your family. But there are some enemies to rest. You know, whenever we're weakened and we're not sleeping well, we don't eat well, we oftentimes are more susceptible to temptation. I encourage you to go to bed earlier at night. Very little good happens after about 10 o'clock at night, out in the community or on the television. Don't sit there like, that's when they start putting the smut all through the television. Don't be watching that. Don't be channel surfing after 10 o'clock at night. Be careful. Get to bed. Get to bed and rest. And then if you can, get up a little bit early, that's fine. If you can sleep a little bit late, I hope God will let you do that. I believe that you are young soldiers, but you are in a place where it's very difficult. You're in the boot camp. And when you get home, I want to encourage you, walk through the great and effectual door of rest. Take some time. What are some enemies of that? Sometimes it is friends. Sometimes friends don't understand. They've been home, and they haven't had the schedule you have, and they're saying, hey, come on, come with us. And be friendly to them. By the way, I encourage you what Brother Howells told us years ago. Give your first night to your mom and dad. When your friends come, hey, you're in town, I'm going to come over, let's go out with us. You might want to say, no, I'm going to give it to mom and dad. I'm going to spend some time with dad, spend some time with mom. So what are you going to do? Whatever you want to do, go buy a gallon of ice cream, sit and eat it, and look at each other, whatever. Find something to do, mom and dad, talk to. My dad doesn't talk very much. My mom talks, hey, stay in their space, ask them a few questions. Talk to them, tell them about your year. Boy, by the way, there are some good things this semester and you've had some hard things. I would just encourage you, be careful about sharing all the negatives. Hurt my feelings. One day I was one of our staff members. There was a young man that was excited about doing the job that this particular staff member was going to do. He said, I think God's called me to do this. And our staff member, they're not normally this way, but they had a bad day. They said, stay away from this job. Said, people will use you and abuse you. They've gotten right with the Lord. They're not the same way. But you know, it soured me because he put cold water on the fire of a young man that could do what he wants to do. Feel like God called him to do that, but you have a bad day. Don't tell about the negative stuff. Those are happening. Just like missionaries. I don't want to hear everybody's missionary stories about all the bad. I don't mind hearing a couple things. I want to hear what God's doing. You ought to tell what God's doing in your heart. But rest, friends will cause that. Activity will cause that. I want to encourage you, young people that are driving, please be careful. Please be careful. Coming and going. If you're tired, pull over and rest. Don't drive tired. You find yourself tired, pull over. And maybe you say, well, I'm going to get some more coffee. I'm going to get something else. And that's fine, but if you can cross the threshold, just stop and rest. Remember years ago, I was going home after a semester, and my brother was driving, and the car, he fell asleep, went out of control, went to a ditch, came up over. We did flip right upside down on I-65 and skidded, and God's merciful to us and took care of us. My arm was just dangling out the window, and I thought to myself, man. And I remember sitting outside of a gas station half the night waiting for my dad to come pick us up, and seeing my brother and thinking, oh man, we just should have just slept. We ruined our car. We almost took our life into peril, all because we just were tired. And it's ridiculous. And be careful. Enter the door of witnessing. Enter the door of appreciation. There's a great door of rest. I want to encourage you to enter that. The last one I want you to introduce to you real quickly this morning, and that is, there's a great door of influence. An influence. Young person, you're only one person in the world, but you're the world to one person. We have opportunities to influence. We can influence our leaders with encouragement. You can influence others with gratefulness. But you know, one of the things the Bible tells us to pray for is to pray for laborers. That God will send forth laborers into His harvest. I can get up and talk all day. I can make posts on Facebook and Twitters and Instagrams. We can do things to try to encourage young people to serve Jesus Christ. But you know what our greatest challenge, or our greatest opportunity to encourage other people is you. Your influence. To the young people in your church, to your pastor, to your youth pastor, you are the greatest advertisement for God's will. You're better than Dr. Young has been with us for many, many years, over four decades. Brother Douglas, Brother Collins, and we want to be used of God and our staff and faculty, but the truth of the matter is, you are a great advertisement, billboard for the Lord Jesus Christ, to influence others to serve Jesus. Certainly, we think about Howells Anderson College, but that's not our goal. Our goal is for them to look and see you and say, because of their influence, I want to serve Christ. I talked to a young man recently. He said to me, I said, what is it that influenced you to come to Howells Anderson College? He said, it was another college student. When I saw what they were, I saw where they were going, I saw their passion for the work of the Lord, I saw the way that they love Christ, I said, you know, if I'm going to do something in my life, I want to go there and learn that. And use the great door of influence. Every one of you have that. I want to give you a couple thoughts on that. And I give it to you from the book of 1 Timothy chapter 4, where the Bible tells us we influence, number one, by our example. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou. Young people, listen, when you step into your church on Sunday, when you step into your home tonight or tomorrow, when you step into your neighborhood, you go to that Saturday soul winning meeting, wherever you are, number one, be a good example. Your influence is furthered by your example. Number two, he said, after being a good example, he said, give attendance to reading. Now, I don't think many of you are thinking about reading too much, but I want to encourage you to think about it. And I'll give you an E word for that, enrichment. Enrich yourself. Keep on reading. On the plane, if you can stay awake, read. When you get a few down times, instead of watching hours and hours of television, read. Give attendance to reading, to enriching your own heart. You know, you and I, we oftentimes teach and we preach and we live out of the overflow of what goes in our eye gate and our ear gate. Enrich yourself. Be an influence by enriching yourself. If you don't have anything to give, you'll not produce what you're not. Be example. Be enriched. Then the Bible says, be an exhorter. Give attendance to exhortation. That means to encourage other people. Exhort, strengthen someone else. You know, Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13, the Bible says, exhorting each other daily. Every day you ought to find a way to encourage somebody else. Your influence comes through exhortation. And then it comes in exercising your gift. The gifts that God gives. The Bible says, neglect not the gift that was given you. I want to encourage you to exercise and use these great doors. The door of witnessing. The door of appreciation. The door of rest. And the door of influence. Now you and I can be used of God in a great way. Wouldn't it be wonderful? Some of us, we may not be a great servant of Christ that is known around the world, but we could win or influence someone else that could be. There's a young person in your church or someone back home. You may get married and serve the Lord in maybe an obscure place, doing the will of God and rewarded greatly, but you could also reach them. Wouldn't you be glad if you were someone who influenced Rick Martin, Kevin Wynn, Ray Young? Well, it would be so great if I had an opportunity to influence somebody who would do great things and great exploits for the Lord. And you can do that. You can walk through the great door of influence. I pray that God will give you a great Thanksgiving holiday. 5 days till we see you again. We're looking forward to the opportunity to be back in school and then also to welcome our young people from across the country for the basketball and volleyball tournament. Until that time, I pray that God will help you to walk through great and effectual doors for the glory of God and the good of others. Let's pray together and stand. Could you please?